Blog Talk Radio.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you.
Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you.
Why I'm not ashamed to say.
You can say it one time with us.
and down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Good morning and welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Pastor Dinah Douglas, Apostle Dinah Douglas, along with none other than Pastor Kashim encourage, inspire, and strengthen you on through the Word of God, what we do right here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, guys, we're just excited about what God has to say on this morning. It is our Man Up Monday broadcast. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, if you have not had the opportunity to hear this man of God that we have coming on, you have cheated yourself. Fantastic pastor, fantastic man of God. Great, 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 great man of God that is seeking after God's own heart. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, we have Apostle Kareem Jackson that's going to be with us on this morning. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up your seatbelts, put on your hard hats, put on your gear, because this man of God is going to shift the atmosphere through the Spirit on this morning, and he is going to give you a life-changing, life-restoring word on this morning. I'm telling you guys, you need to hear this great man of God on this morning. But listen, guys, as always, before we get started, we'd like to share a passage of scripture with you, and then we'll go to a fervent prayer on this morning. So let us go to our verse for this morning. You'll find us this morning in 1 Corinthians. You'll find us in 1 Corinthians, 3 and 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. The New King James Version reads it like this. The New King James Version reads it like this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, now that is powerful. We'll read that again. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That is such a reassuring for us on this morning. That's such a reassuring word, a reaffirming word on this morning. Let us go into our official sermon prep. Gracious and eternal Father, we come thanking you right now, God, for all that you do. Father, we thank you for the word that is going to come forth. God, we pave the way right now, God, that the Spirit shall come in, God, and take root in this message right now. Take a root into this word on this morning. Take root into the man of God on this morning. God, we lift him up to you, Father God. God, we pray, God, that the words that you have to fall from his lips be as the nectar to those ears that need to hear. God, a change for the heart of those who need a change in their hearts, God. A transformation in the mind for those who need their mind transformed. God, it would be an uprising, God, for those that are in a down place, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for everything that you're doing and every place that you're doing it in the mighty and rich and infallible name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, guys, as always, we want to make sure that we acknowledge all of those countries that are listening in. And again, we thank you for you guys so very much for continuing to partner up with us and partner alongside of us and be a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And we hope that something is said or done throughout the broadcast that will bless you, that will encourage you, that will inspire you. Amen. We have with us this morning, we have with us the United States, we have Canada, we have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Jamaica, we have Germany, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Russia, we have Bulgaria, and we have Mexico. And we want to just say thank you guys so much for continuing to connect with us. And know all of our missionaries and all of our pastors and all of those that are out doing the work of the Lord over in those rural countries, we want to let you know that we are praying for you. We're interceding for you. We're talking to the Lord for you. We're calling on his name. We're asking that you will find favor in that place that you're in. We understand that the taskmasters are hard pressed on you guys, along not only just with you, but to the ones that are giving their lives as well. We want to tell you that we're praying for you as well. We want you to know that no matter what the enemy may present whatever he has planned and plotted to come against your life. Know that even in that, that God is yet in control. Fear not, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen is eternal. Continue to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, he shall direct your path. Just allow him to be God and be big in your life. Amen. Listen. We want to also make sure that we acknowledge all of our active and retired military on today. Today is Memorial Day. We want to tell you thank you for your service. We have military family members that are in our family. We want to make sure that we tell you thank you for your service. Those of you all that are under the sound of our voices this morning that are active military and retired military, thank you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. For it is because of your fight. It is because of your fight. It is because of your fight. It is because of your service that we enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And we want to tell you thank you so very much. We appreciate you for what you do. And for all of those that have fallen service members in your life, we want to tell you that our prayers are with you. We want to let you know that we are praying for you. We are praying and asking God to comfort you in this time, whether it been 10 years ago or whether it been 10 months ago, whether it been 10 hours ago. We want to pray for you and let you know that we are interceding and that we're calling on the name of the Lord for your comfort and your time of bereavement as you celebrate the life of that individual that you have lost that has fallen in battle. And guys, we want to let you know that no matter where you find yourself at, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. It is just the mentality that we have to have. We have to trust him even when we can't trace him. Amen? Amen. Listen, guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we will be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
We got to get an understanding of the God we say we serve. He's bigger than we think. He looks at Abraham and Sarah. They were beyond logic of having a child. Beyond the years of childbearing. And he looks at them and says, in other words, what's too difficult for me to do? If I can create all those galaxies that you don't even know about, what's a womb that I can't put a baby in? You remember when he went to Mary? The angel went to Mary and told her that she was going to be with child and carry the Savior. Luke 1:37, when Mary wondered how a virgin could bear a child, the angel addressed her squarely and said, nothing will be impossible. Think of that verse when you see your situation. When you think about that problem in your life, the angel says to us today, nothing will be impossible for God. The God you serve, I don't care how big it is. I don't care how the situation looks. It looks the doctor's report. It doesn't matter. He says, nothing will be impossible for the God that you and I serve. I'm telling you, whatever the mountain of the situation is that you're facing, whatever that challenge is that seems like it's killing you, whatever the circumstances is, you got to look at the circumstance and say, nothing is impossible for my God. Nothing. He can do anything. He creates out of nothing. He just speaks it. And it is so. When I understand the kind of God that I say I serve, I move differently. I process differently. I go through problems differently. My perspectives are changed because I'm viewing my situation through the lens of the God that I know and serve. So all of a sudden, the thing that looks so big, yes, it looks big when I view it through my own carnal eyes, but when I pull out and view it through the eyes of Elohim, I realize that it's a small thing to the mighty God that I serve. Amen. Your purpose is already complete. He's already spoken it. It is so. It is done, and it is good. Our job is to step into it. But God has already gone ahead of it. He's already done it. He's already fashioned it. He's already formed it. Now you just have to align with the purpose that God has already spoken concerning your life and my life. Whatever God is going to do for you, He has already done it. You don't have to, oh God, could you fix this? I got this situation in my life. He's like, I've already done it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Oh, but I don't know if I'm going to like it. No, it's plans that are good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. He knows what you need. I'm Elohim. I make something out of nothing. So, Sarah, I know your womb is beyond childbearing, but I'm Elohim. I speak and it is so. I put seed inside your womb and it is so. So here comes Isaac. Because God said it. I think God is just after our belief. God wants us to know that He is transcendent. He's transcendent. What does that mean? Meaning He's distinct from His creation. Rather than being a part of creation, He sits above His creation. That's why heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. He puts His feet on earth, His toes, so to speak, on planet earth. Secondly, underneath transcendent, He transcends time. Whew. He transcends time. If God created time, He had to precede it in order to create it. He couldn't have created something that was already created. So He created the beginning. He created time. So when you and I discuss time, we discuss it from a linear perspective. So we say 7 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or Monday through Sunday, or January through December, or hours, or weeks, or months. We can't fit God inside of that because He fits beyond. He sees beyond the time that we construct in our minds to weigh the day, when I go to sleep, when I get up. God sits above that. He created time. He sits outside of time. God is present now and always. You see, you and I have yesterday and tomorrow. God is always and always will be. We're talking about time. He transcends it. So He is always and always will be. He is the I am. You know what that means? Present tense. Always. He is right now. That's why He told Moses, tell them I am sent you. That is in the now He's referring to Himself. Yesterday He was now. Today He was now. He's now. And forevermore He is now. He's the eternal God. He doesn't fit in our cortex of time. He sits outside. Oh, come on, church. We got to understand this God. He's mighty. So he's the I am, not I was or I will be, but right now I am. Ever present. He transcends time. So for us, we go to God with urgent prayer requests. God, I need this now. God, you got to come through now. We look at the time. We look at, it's due now. It's due now. And God says, it's a problem for you, not a problem for me. I created the time you're worried about. You're telling me I got to do, it got to be now, it got to be now. No, no, I sit above it. I know when to do it. No wonder we can say in impatience and in our angst, He tells us, be still and know. I know you're worried about that and you're thinking the time is running out and you're thinking, where is it going? He can look at you and tell you, just be still. You know what that means? Chillax, relax, cease striving. Be still and know what? That I am God. I'm Elohim. I created this thing. Genesis 1, 2 to 3 says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. It was a waste, garbage, uninhabitable. It was the result of Satan. and his fallen angels. And the planet became a wasteland. But the Bible says Elohim began to hover over the chaos, over the wasteland. And life was the result of the Spirit of God hovering over what looked like a mess. What does that tell us about God? It tells us that he's a restorer. He restores things. He takes what the enemy has messed up and cleans it up. Come on. Right? He takes what was messed up. Hey, come on. That should be all of us. And he cleans it up. He makes dead things come alive. He brings light where there is darkness. He is a restorer. So what the enemy is trying to do, Satan messing up things, God comes in and restores it. So what that tells us, he makes all things new in your life and in my life. That should give somebody in here hope. Because only Elohim can turn a mess into a miracle. Only Elohim can do something like that. His name is Elohim. And when he transcends our lives and turns what was darkness in our lives to light, he then wants you to reflect him. Genesis 1:26 tells us, then God said, let us make man in our what? Image, according to our likeness. What is an image? An image is a mirror. The flowers were not created in God's image. Mm-mm. The beasts, they weren't created in God's image. The fish wasn't created in God's image. Only man was created with the capacity to mirror God, to reflect God Almighty. Everything else can validate God, glorify God, but man is the only one that was created in his image to reflect God Almighty. We're supposed to mirror God because he has put his image stamped on us. We are commissioned high, at a higher level than any other thing created in all creation. Only mankind has been given the privilege and the honor and the capacity to mirror God Almighty. No wonder the psalmist says, what is a man that thou art mindful of us? Why would you look upon us in such love and kindness and mercy? And I don't know the reason for that. All we know is that God says that you are the apple of his eye. This great, majestic, mighty, powerful God says you are the apple of his eyes. That when he sees you, he sees the beloved. His love towards you is full, running over, bubbling. You've heard me say it before. The scripture says that his thoughts towards you outnumbers the sand on the seashore. Which seashore, Pastor Nadine? All of them. It outnumbers. That's his thoughts toward you. Not just once, all the time.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Nadine, thank you so much. That was fantastic. Just a little encouragement over this morning to let you know that you are the mirror image of God. You just have to continue to press, continue to press. Amen. Listen, guys, I don't want to hold a man of God any longer. We have none other than Apostle Kareem Jackson on the line with us on this morning. He is here to bring a life-changing word. I'm telling you now, you might want to go ahead on and get your hard hat and get your pencil and your paper and buckle yourself up, because we just to get ready for a word that will shift your life on this morning. Listen, I can't hold it no longer. I present to some and introduce to others none other than Apostle Kareem Jackson. Apostle, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am here, and I'm grateful to be
here. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Greetings and salutations. I want to say good godly morning on this Monday, this Memorial Day. I am grateful for opportunity to share with all of you listening audience on this morning. And this definitely is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. I want to bring you greetings from the Resurrection Church family, where I give leadership here in the city of Houston, Texas. That is 4613 Calvary Street in the heart of Sunnyside, and I am just grateful to serve there. And also, God has blessed me to pen my first book entitled Perception, The Art of Right Seeing. And you can pick that book up on Amazon.com. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. Just type in Perception, The Art of Right Seeing, Kareem Jackson, and that book will come up. You can purchase it. It's only $20, and I would greatly appreciate you sowing into what God has blessed me with, as well as I believe that it will be a major blessing to your life. I want to go into a passage of Scripture found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 1. And I just want to look at that one verse, and we're going to build a thought around verse number 1 that I pray will be a blessing to each and every one of you that are listening. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version of the Bible, 1 Samuel 16, verse number 1. I want to thank Pastor Douglas again for this invitation to share with this main audience. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." I want to talk around this thought. I want to center this conversation around a question. And the question is, how long before we move on? How long before we move on? Brothers and sisters, life all about choices. And we're all going to have to understand and resolve the fact that choices have to be made every day. We have to make choices about what to keep. We have to make choices about what to get rid of. That deals with personal as well as business decisions in every place. In every space, we're going to have to make decisions, relationship decisions, circle decisions, who's going to be around me. All of these decisions are decisions we have to make. They're all connected to the ability to choose. And so if we tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God, letting go as well as some people oftentimes becomes the challenge. It is very difficult to let go of things that I'm used to. It's very difficult to let go of things that I love. There is a warfare to let go, dare I say, of things that I have a soul tied to. And part of feelings that we are losing, part of our feelings is that we're losing, that we're failing at something. So the other side, though, is also, if we learn how to transition and let go of what is old, what is hindering us, or dare I say, what is dead, then it opens us up for the ability to step into new opportunities, because this concept of letting go, it really matters, because here is the caveat, brothers and sisters, you cannot hold on and stay open to new possibilities at the same time. You cannot hold on to the old and embrace the new at the same time. It's not in my sermon, but it feels good because it's in my spirit. That's kind of why the Bible says stuff like when Paul writes as it relates to our relationship with God. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? Because you cannot hold on to the old and break and embrace the new at the same level. So something is going to have to give. So you and I have to choose. We have to choose. And we all struggle with the issue of missed opportunities. You know, we ask the question, should I take in this career change, or should I stay where I am, or stay where I'm not happy, or in a relationship I'm not happy with, or am I not fulfilled with? All of us struggle with choices. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, we've got to make the hard decisions. Now, I bring up choices because this book of 1 Samuel is about choices. The choice we make speaks to our character. If you're listening to me, you might want to Facebook or tweet that or write that down on a sheet of paper in all caps. The choices we make speak to our character. Some of our choices are good, some are bad. We see in 1 Samuel, we see Hannah, who is a woman who can't have kids. She's making a choice to cry out to God for a son. The Bible says God heard her cry, granted her request. She was grateful for the goodness of God, so she dedicated her son Samuel to the Lord. And Samuel grew up Eli, and Samuel eventually became the leader of the nation. Near the end of Samuel's life, the Israelites rejected the sons of Samuel because the Bible says they were not like Samuel, which brings up a question for me, because I want to understand in my exegetical mind, why would Samuel's boys not be adequate enough to transition into leadership like their father? Well, because the Bible helps us to understand that Samuel's boys were not good men like Samuel, which means that could it be that because Samuel was so busy doing ministry that he wasn't a good father? Was Samuel a public success and a private failure? That's another conversation for another time. Maybe Pastor Douglas will bring me back and let me talk about it. But I think this is very pivotal because Israel didn't want Samuel's boys to be over them. The Bible says they wanted a king. And so Samuel will warn them about what would happen if they got a king. But because the people were who they were, they chose, that is, we're going back to choices, they chose to want a king anyway. And so this started the history of the king. God chose a man who was tall, who was handsome, named Saul, to be the first king. And Samuel anointed him king and then gave him instruction from the Lord. When you get to chapter 15, Saul was given specific instructions as he prepared for battle against the Amalekites because God never forgot what the Amalekites had done to Israel, the way they waylaid the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. And so the instructions that God gave Saul was to destroy the Amalekites. He said, now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. That was the instruction. He said, do not spare them, men and women, children, hear this, and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. He said, 1 Samuel 15, verse 4, kill them all. The message and instruction from God was clear. Go destroy everything and everybody. But as we study that particular pericope of scripture, we'll discover Saul disobeyed God and spared the Amalekite king Agag and the best of their sheep, their cattle, and their lambs. Wait a minute, to add insult to injury, Saul then lied and said that he had carried out the Lord's commands to the fullest. Now, here's the issue. Here's the issue. If you did everything that God told you to do, why did you skin the sheep, the cattle, and the lamb? He lied in response. Saul says, what Samuel says to Saul, if you did everything that I told you to do, then what is this bleeding of sheep in my ear? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? How tragic that Saul thought he could fool Samuel, the prophet, which illustrates, brothers and sisters, his disrespect for the omniscience of God as well as the prophetic office of Samuel. This is a blatant disrespect to the prophetic office. This is a blatant disrespect to God, and it necessitated God's rejection of Saul as king. Samuel laments. He mourns. He cries his decision in making Saul king. And so at this point, we arrive in our text, and Samuel is in heavy grief over Saul. He's in heavy grief. I think we can all attest right about here that we have all mourned and lost some stuff. We've lost opportunities. We've lost things. We've lost time. We've lost people. And we have grieved over a relationship that is dead with no hope. We've all been depressed over a missed opportunity. We have mourned over an unrealized expectation. We have cried over a moral or an ethical failure. All of us have had some stuff to die on us. And brothers and sisters, it's not always easy to get over something that dies. You know, it's easy for us to say somebody dies, they pass, and we say, get over it. That's easy. That's easy to say. But some of us, it's easy for us to get over stuff because we never really loved hard enough to grieve over something. But those of us that have really loved, and those of us who have really had relationships, and those of us who understand what it means to have things die on us, we know what it means to mourn over stuff that we lost. But the text helps us to understand that he's mourning over Saul. And after you've invested yourself in giving out time and talent and treasure to a relationship or to a person or to a friend, and it dies, here is the hard truth, brothers and sisters. Here's the hard truth. I want you to take a deep breath, inhale and exhale, because you might not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I need you to post this. Some of the things that died on you was meant to die. Boy, if I was in my church, we would have ran. I'd have ran right smooth through there. So some of the things that died on you, some of the relationships that died, some of the opportunities that died, some of the things that you think that you missed actually died on you on purpose, meaning that since it was meant to die, then we got to learn how to move past it because it was in the will of God for it to die. And whether you like it or not, there are some people, some circumstances, some situations that we've got to learn how to get over. No, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's necessary because regardless of how much we love and we care or we yearn for someone or something, God declares that there comes a day when you've got to get over it. You've got to stop crying, you've got to stop lamenting, and you've got to move on past it. This is where we are in the text. God goes to Samuel and says, how long? How long? This phrase leaps out to me because it makes me think of how long Samuel was actually in a period of grief. And brothers and sisters, grief is the acute pain that accompanies loss. Because it is a reflection on what we love, it can feel all-encompassing. So grief is not limited to the loss of people. But when it follows the loss of a loved one, it may be compounded by feelings of guilt and confusion, especially if the relationship was a difficult one. And so we got to tell the truth. That is, there is no timetable to grief because it's operating on its own trajectory. And I know many people, if you've studied psychology like I have, then you'll understand this component. And so I know many people have talked about it. They are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But the reality is not everyone goes through all of those stages. Grief is individual and it's personal. Everybody doesn't grieve the same. But the ultimate question as it relates to your life is, how long will you grieve and allow something else to die in the process? Let me ask you that again. How long will you grieve and allow something else to die in the process? So while you're focused on grieving for the thing that you lost, something else is dying on the other side that you're not paying attention to. And so you can't be in mourning, hear me, and be productive at the same time. I need help right there. I said you cannot be productive and be mourning at the same time because something is going to go lacking. Oh, God. Something is going to be lacking. All right, let me give you a few caveats. Let me give you a few caveats on my way out the door. Here's the first thing. Whenever I am in grief, then I'm not my best self when I'm mourning. Come on, I need you to write that down. I need you to find something, scratch sheet of paper. I don't care. Put it in the notes on your phone. But as it relates to moving on, and as it relates to embracing new possibilities, I am not my best self when I'm mourning. So by continuing to grieve and mourn over Saul, Samuel is growing derelict in his responsibility as priest. He's God's prophet. He's the spiritual leader among the people. He's the proclaimer of the good news. He's the priest anointed to do the work of the Lord. And so for Samuel to continue mourning over Saul suggests that Samuel is abdicating his spiritual assignment. He's God's seer. He's one who's able to foretell God's future. So however, as long as he's mourning over Saul, he's solely focused on the past. In other words, God can't get the best out of you because you're in mourning, so your focus is off. And so the question is, how long will you miss out on being the best that you're called to be because you're focused on dead issues and dead relationships? How long are you going to miss out on your God-given assignment because you're grieving over something that's good? Good God from on high. You're not your best self when you're mourning. Can I give y'all a second point? I'm almost done. Can I give y'all a second point? Persistent mourning won't change the situation. I'll try that again. Persistent mourning will not change the situation. So God admonishes Samuel to cease from mourning over Saul because persistent grieving will change your nature, not your situation. I need you to write that down. Persistent grieving will change your nature, but not your situation. Samuel is ceasing to be strong. He's ceasing to be the bold leader that he had been. The Samuel God called was strong. He was authoritative. Unless Samuel snapped out of his melancholy mood, he would cease to be the person that God called him to be because he can't operate in his assignment with boldness because he's grieving. And I need to submit to us that mourning will only cause you to go deeper into the slump that you're in because it becomes harder to pull yourself out of the funk. It's because of people in unprocessed mourning that drove them to drink and drove them to drugs and drove them to bouts of depression because they were trying to cope. And so they used these things, these tools, as coping mechanisms that were never designed to bring relief. I can numb you, but I can't pull you out of the slump. Here's the issue. What we do as a byproduct of coping, we go to coping mechanisms that we think are actually bringing relief, but they're not bringing healing. That's the issue, I think, that we need. Taking drugs and alcohol and in most cases using illicit sex, all of these different vices as sins, but what we're doing, we're thinking that it's bringing relief. That's why you get this culture, this culture of young people are dying from this party mentality. They're dying because of disrespectful attitudes. They're dying because nobody knows how to have conversations, because we are numb. We're coping with stuff. We've got underlying issues that we never talk to anybody about. You will be surprised how many people that I have to counsel in my pastorate who deal with molestation, who have been touched, whose innocence has been taken, who have been robbed of their childhood, who come out of a negative environment, and they're smoking weed, and they're getting high, popping pills, and drinking, taking shots of Patron, and all of this strong stuff because they're coping with strong issues. God never called us to cope. He called us to be healed. And what we've got to understand is that you can medicate yourself all you want to, but that will not change the situation. If I can tell the whole truth, it's going to make your life worse. I came to tell many of us that it's time for us to snap out of this place of unnecessary mourning over things that we can't control. When somebody leaves us, or when somebody dies, or when somebody transitions, or whenever God snatches something away from us, trust me when I tell you it was in the will of God. How do you know that, Kareem? Well, because I read the Bible. Romans 8:28 says something like this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for our good, to them who love the Lord and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Make that make sense, Kareem? That phrase, working together, is the Greek word synergeo. We get the word synergy from there. It literally suggests in the Greek translation taking a mixture of the good and the bad. You need a mixture. Everything can't be good, but everything won't be bad. There's a mixture of the two. God operates in this dichotomy. He operates in this dichotomy, in this mixture, that God takes the bad and the good and works it together. He mixes it together. And so what we got to understand is that it's unnecessary for us to mourn what we never could control in the first place. Relationships that you thought would last but didn't, you can't control that. Jobs that you lost and you thought that it wasn't supposed to be this way, it died. You can't control that. We mourn over our broken relationships. You can't control that. We long for it to be what it could have been. And so oftentimes what we do, we sit and ponder. That's what slipping you into depression in the first place. You're pondering over things that you can't control. What was it supposed to be? What it could have been? So we let our mind create scenarios about it shoulda, coulda, woulda. But after all of that, we still have to resolve it was out of your control. I gotta quit. We lament for the pain of tearing away, and what would that mean for us? How will it affect us? And we wonder if God will be able to replace the person that we lost, him or her. But brothers and sisters, you can't control that. And I'm sure, if truth be told, I'm sure Samuel is thinking the same thing. In Samuel's mind, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Hey, Samuel, you did forget that you were the one who prophesied that he wasn't going to be what y'all thought he was going to be. So if he wasn't going to be the king for Israel that they thought, what made you think it was going to be different for you? So even though Samuel is the prophet, there's still some things that he himself didn't understand. That was the issue in Samuel's mind, but it didn't change the situation. So I'm not my best self when I'm mourning. Persistent mourning won't change the situation. But here's number three, and I'm finished. My mourning is hindering God's plan. My mourning is hindering God's plan. Samuel had to cease his mourning because, watch this, he was hindering God's program. Saul was the king of Israel, but his tenure is not over. So while he remained on the throne, Saul was spiritually impotent. So God had already concluded in his omniscient understanding that Saul in no way represented Israel's future. So the longer Samuel grieved, the longer he puts God's program on hold. In other words, God had moved on. Listen to what God says to Samuel in chapter 16, verse 1. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Wait a minute. Let me try it again. Hey, Samuel, I got a plan in motion. And by you sitting here doing nothing, you are jeopardizing my plan because I already got another replacement. And I didn't just make this replacement up overnight. Lord Jesus, I can preach this. I didn't just make this replacement up overnight, but I got one. So, hey, Samuel, since I have appointed you as priest, judge, and prophet, you are holding up my progress. I wish I had help right there. hey, Sammy, you are holding up my progress. So if as God, I have a net. I wish I could prophesy to somebody that's listening to me to declare to you that no matter what you have lost, whatever was taken from you, it was out of your control. But here's the prophetic utterance I need you to grab on this Memorial Day Monday. And I need you to go crazy when I tell you God has a net. God has moved on past your mistake. He's moved on past your failure. He's moved on past the thing that you're grieving about. It's time to stop crying, dry your tears, and understand that God has a next. Saul was the people's choice, but God says this next move is the move that I'm choosing. There is somebody that's at Jesse's house. I need you to get there, Samuel, because there is the king that I have anointed myself, but I need you to finish the product. I need you to finish the transition, and I need you to lay your hands on him and anoint him because I have a next, and I need you, Samuel, to move on because until you get up, my team is still going to be doing it. Samuel, I have another assignment for you to undertake. And since you work for me, need you to do I have done in this situation, and I need you to move on. I'm done, but I came to announce to us, brothers and sisters, it's time to move on. This previous year has presented some challenges that has caused us grief. Some of us have lost people in this pandemic. Some of us have lost jobs in this pandemic. Some of us have lost relationships in this pandemic. And as hard as it is for me to tell you, it is the will of God. Move on. You might not like it, but it's time to move on. God's plan didn't stop because you took an L. You took a loss. I get it. You took a loss and hurt. You upset about it. It gets on your nerves, time to move on. Time to move on. And my prayer for you is that you would understand that God, because he's in control, he's given you the wherewithal to move on. He's given you the ability to move past. Father, I thank you for this moment of preaching, the teaching, and I'm asking you this morning that for those who are listening, who are grieving, those who are listening who are struggling in the area, those who are listening who taking a loss, they're mourning, they're grieving, give them strength. Help them to, like you told Sammy, get up and move on. We bless you, we honor you, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Douglas, thank you again for this great opportunity, sir. I appreciate God for you.
Amen, man, and it is an honor for us as well, Apostle, for you to be on, man, and to just come on and just share with us the contents of your heart this morning, man. I'm gonna tell you now, this is how I know you in the vein, because I just preached that. I preached from that exact same text Sunday morning. That was my text on Sunday morning. What is the contents of your heart? And we dug real deep, just like you just did. We dug real deep, man. I'm just sitting over there. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Are we just having a rewind this morning, or what we doing? What we doing this morning? Man, I'm telling you, I was sitting over here. I'm like, Lord. And, man, everything that you were talking about, man, it hit so home, I know, with a whole lot of people. You know, and you know, we are still, even though the city is coming back to what they consider as life, the church is coming back to what we could consider as life. And I say, I use that term life real loosely.
Right.
We still, it's a mentality of PTSD sometimes, I believe, because of what we suffer. Man, we've suffered a lot of things at the hands of this pandemic, but like you said, what God told Saul, man, listen, we may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We forget that first term, that first part of the scripture, because we always quote that last part. He said his anger is but for a moment. And weeping endure for a night, and joy comes in the morning. So we have to realize that sometimes in life, We have to take the good and the bad, the ugly and in between, in order for us to get keep on going, and in order for us to see what life is, to see how life's supposed to go. You know, man, in this pandemic, I lost two uncles. I lost my father. Man, we lost cousins. We did a balloon release this past weekend. And one of the things I told him, I encouraged our family. I told him, I said, let me tell y'all something. I said, I want y'all to hear me and hear me real good. I said, we lost a lot. I said, but we got each other. We got to encourage one another, strengthen one another. I told him, I said, wrap your arms around that person that's standing next to you. I said, now tell that person that I'm here for you. You know, we have to understand, man, we have to keep moving. Especially when you know that you are the called of God, there's an assignment that is connected to you, man, that God Almighty, man, it goes beyond the place where you are. It pushes you to that next level. It pushes you to that next dimension, man, to do what God has called you to do. And sometimes, man, the press is hurt. It hurts, man. The press hurts. You're gonna experience some pain. You're gonna experience some frustration. You're gonna experience some anger. You're gonna experience people along the way that were never meant good. God's from Zion. I ain't trying to preach no more. But they never was meant that or designed, man, to be a part of your life. Can I help somebody? The apostle didn't already preached it. I just want to put a nail in the devil's coffin. He said earlier, some stuff and some people, you just got to let them go. My grandmother said it like this, and I'm going to close it with this. My grandmother used to say it like this. She said, don't let the doughnut hit you. What a good Lord speech.
Yeah, that's right. We said it like a benediction. May the Lord watch between me and you.
Come on, sir.
From another. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And it works, too. It works. I'm telling you, it works.
That's right.
Let them folks go. But listen, Apostle, we appreciate you so much. God bless you, man. Listen, we are going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to pray for the book. Man, I want to get with you and try to get my hands on a copy of it. I am so sure that the words that's on that page is life-changing. I am so sure. And let them know. Let me pray for you, and then I want you to let them know how to get a hold to your book. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this that is in our presence on this morning. God, we thank you for the life-changing word that you have placed inside of the man of God's belly, for him to be able to speak this morning. God, this was a teachable moment this morning. This was a teachable moment. This gave life and strength to those who needed to hear, caused them to shift, to be transparent, and to be transformed on this morning. God, we thank you for your unfailing word, God. God, that met us in our most dangerous and most desperate place through your man of God. God, we thank you for using him as the battering ram, God, to knock down the walls of the enemy on this morning. Father, our prayer, God, is that you will pour back in him the source and the resources, God, that he has poured out on this morning. God, we pray, God, the double portion anointing on his life, God, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. God, we thank you for everything that he touches, God, is prospering, Lord God. God, we even prophesy to the four winds, God, to bring into his life, God, everything that he needs. God, we thank you right now, God, for touching his help meet, God, the woman of God that's along his side, God, his children. God, we pray right now that you would gird them up and protect them. God, we ask you to dispatch the angels wherever they are, God, and keep them covered and safe, God. God, keep them covered in prayer. God, keep the anointing on their life. And when the enemy comes against them like a flood, Father God, you have already built a standard against the enemy, and he shall not prosper. He shall not prevail over that family, over that man of God's life, over that man of God's ministry, over the woman of God's ministry. It shall not, over their children's ministry. God, it shall not come to pass. God, we thank you for all things being made well. And we glorify your mighty and rich name. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. Man of God, let them know how they can get a hold of your book again, and let them know how they can get a hold to you and the church and all that information?
The name of the book is Perception, The Art of Right Seeing by Pastor Kareem Jackson. You can get it off Amazon. If you just type in Perception, The Art of Right Seeing by Pastor Kareem Jackson, the book will come up. I give leadership to Resurrection Church. Again, we're located at 4613 Alvin Street. If you want to find me on social media, you can just type in Kareem Jackson on Facebook, K-A-R-2-E-1-M, as in Mary, not N. Most people call me Kareem, but it's Kareem with an M. And you can inbox me, and I'll get you to all the necessary people if you want to book me to preach or sing or anything like that. We love to serve, so we'll be happy to come. Thank you again, Pastor, for this opportunity.
Yes, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, guys, we're just excited about the word of God that's transpired on this morning. Right now, Pastor, we don't have anybody that's acknowledged that they want to have prayer or anything. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Please stay on the line for me, Pastor. I want to talk to you during this commercial break. Listen, guys, remember, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
That's a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart, he wants it all today. Serve me with your life now, he wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols, he wants it all today, he wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child which will give him their own. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your own. For a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all.
Molly, let's go get him.
Give me that joy I can't explain, an extra peace that'll ease my pain. For that love that'll never change, give me that, give me that.
give me that,
give me that
power to walk away, yeah. When another God wants to take your place,
yeah.
As much of you as I can take,
whoa.
Give me that,
oh.
Anybody ready,
oh.
Ready for his glory,
oh.
If you are sick of a life,
oh.
Let me tell you the story,
oh.
Every place that's dark,
oh,
he will bring it to light.
Oh,
hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right.
Oh,
see, I include myself.
Oh,
I cast my own stone.
Oh,
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Oh,
I can see my wrong.
Oh,
but I'm here by grace.
Oh,
through Christ by faith.
Oh,
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain, add extra peace that'll ease my pain, hold that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that power to walk away, when another God wants to take your place, as much of you as I can take. Give me that.
Oh,
anybody tired?
Oh,
you want the show to end?
Oh,
get the actors off stage,
oh,
and let church begin.
Oh,
do you want a revolution?
Oh,
you want to hear new songs?
New song.
See, God is cleaning up house,
oh,
and first he's starting right at home.
Oh,
now my miracle water, burnt cloth for money and fame.
Oh,
see, everybody got a title, but do you know your name?
Uh-oh.
If we humble ourselves, people,
uh-oh,
fall on our face,
uh-oh,
and ask God, everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain, that extra peace that'll ease the pain, I want that love that'll never change. Give me that. Ooh, I want the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place, as much of you, Lord, as I can take. Give me that one more time. Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain, and it's the peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that. Ooh, give me the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place, as much of you as I can take. Give me that, and I choose you today. Darkness with stars, the God who orchestrates the future, at the same time he knows where you are. Give me that God who supplies my needs, cause he owns all the cattle on the hill, and he's the God who wipes my tears and provides enough to pay all my bills. And give me that God, that's the God I'm talking about. Give me that God, that's the God I'm talking about.
Give me that.
All of that.
Give me that.
Yeah.
All I can explain.
Woo.
That
the joy I can't explain. I'm at a loss of words now. I'm so happy, you make me happy now. Yeah. Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll add extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Oh, give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable? What a
do. love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
This song says God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
God, you're still mine and strong.
fight this battle for me and help my unbelief so I can tell all my friends
you won again.
That you have won again. Let your power flow.
Yeah.
That you have won again. Everybody needs the power in here.
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, through the dark road. Every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing the price of battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord.
Fight this battle.
I can't do it. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank you.
You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me up so many
you
times.
Have
never lost a patient.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it. But oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time. Yeah. My husband could do. You're a champion. You're undefeated. Because you did it for me, yes. You brought me out. You made a way.
Yes, he did.
God, you. I give you glory. I bless your name.
I give him praise.
Because you won. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
thinking about your goodness, how you keep on making a way for me.
Amen, amen, amen. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of today's broadcast. Listen, guys, we had such an exciting word from Apostle Kareem Jackson on this morning. Man of God, we wanted to say thank you. We want to say thank you to those that are listening in. Thank you to you, Pastor, for just giving out such a life source of a word on this morning. I'm telling you, man of God, that word shifted and changed a whole lot of people's lives on this morning. But listen, guys, we've come to the part of the broadcast where we extend the invitation to Christ. We call it the Overcomers Scripture and the Overcomers Prayer. We call it the moment of overcoming on this morning. We wanted to just extend to you this opportunity of a life-changing experience to become closer to Christ. And it's simply this. It's simply this. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're not going to be this long, drawn out prayer. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to come into your life and be a part of your life. And simply, only thing you have to do, people of God, is receive God, just to receive him. And what we're going to do, we're going to read a scripture that we want to put into your hearing on this morning. And after we read the scripture, we're going to pray. And once we pray, we're going to say that scripture one more time. We're going to engage that scripture one more time. And when we start to speak that scripture, we want you to just receive God and just say, I receive you, Lord. I receive you. Amen. So the scripture that we are reading from is Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9, it says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. It is just that simple. It is just that simple. It's not complex, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a hard thing to do. You just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, let us pray. Lend me your hearts for a moment. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for these that's under the sound of our voice. God, our prayer this morning, God, we desire to move by your power and move by your strength. Touch those, God, that have a desire, Lord God. God, give them an ear to hear what you are saying to the body of Christ. Give them an ear to hear what you're speaking right now, God, into their hearing and into their hearts. God, to let them know that even in this, God, that you are yet God and you are yet God all by yourself. And beside you, there is no other. God, we trust in you with all our heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge you. And Father, we ask that you would direct their path on today. God, as they receive you this morning, God. God, we pray right now, God. We pray right now. We pray right now. We pray right now, God. God, that scripture that we've read, God. God, Romans 10:9. God, we confess, we speak that, and as we speak that, let that be their confession. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they confess with their mouth and they believe in their hearts that you died and was raised from the dead, and that they are now saved. They're in a safe place in you. They're in a safe place in you. We thank you for being in a safe place. God, we thank you for the glory of the Lord that is revealed even now in their hearts and in their minds. Let your words, God, from the pages of your Bible, God, become life and a life source to them, that they may be able to pull from that thing, God, and become greater than where they are. Amen, amen, and amen. Father, we pray for those, God, that are sick and shut in. We pray for all of our military, God, all of our nurses and doctors across this country, God. God, we pray that you would continue to put your hand of protection over them. God, the ones that are dealing with the COVID-19 that is still, God, affecting the lives of those, God, that is around us. Father, we pray that you would continue to keep your hand of grace and mercy on, in, and around them. God, continue to cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Don't let them become weary and well-doing. But, Lord, let them reap if they faint not. God, we thank you for them not fainting in the fight, God, that they'll continue to fight the good fight of faith. God, that they have been established inside of you. God, give them the understanding that you are your God and you are your God all by yourself. And beside you, Father God, there is no other. God, and for that we give your name praise, and for that we give your name glory, and for that we give your name honor. And we say, take dominion and power, God, over the place where you are. And we give you glory in advance for all things being made well. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen. Amen and amen. Listen, guys, we thank you so very much. Those of you all who would like to sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, you can do so by going to your Cash App. And your Cash App that you go to, you can go to $WGC2020. That's $WGC2020. We thank you guys for partnering up with us and being along. Fantastic journey on our Man of Monday broadcast this morning. Listen, guys, also, this portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Cora Gift to Give Bath Bombs. You're looking for that relaxing bath experience. You're looking for that Calgon take me away moment. Get in contact with none other than Pastor Kashima Douglas. You can do so by texting 832-816-7997. That's 832-816-7997. You can also go to her Gmail account, which is CoraGiftedGifts34@gmail.com. That's CoraGiftedGifts34@gmail.com. You can go there and make your request and let her know that you guys would be interested in getting those bath bombs. I'm telling you, you will do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen, because this bath bomb is a relaxing experience. I am a shower guy. I tried the bath bomb for the product release, and I'm telling you guys, it was a relaxing experience. It relaxed all of the sore and tense muscles. I'm telling you, you will do yourself a favor getting yourself some of these bath bombs. Again, you can get in contact with her by texting 832-816-7997. Her Gmail account, which is CoraGiftedGifts34@gmail.com. Thank you guys so very much for being patronizing her and being a part of today's broadcast. We look forward to you guys joining us tomorrow for our Testimony Tuesday, our Wisdom and Worship Wednesday, our Women's Day Thursday, and our Freestyle Friday. We look forward to you guys being a part of every day that we do, and we thank you so much. We love you, and as we say here at the Worldwide Gospel Connection, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You guys have a fantastic day. God bless you.
Let your power
fall. Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word says.
God has spoken.
Let the church.